As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is Melissa Lockhart with Steve Berman from the Steamheads, a show about the Oakland A's. Well, the A's weren't able to carry over their Game 3 comeback vibe in a disappointing Game 4, where once again they took an early lead only to see it evaporate in the fourth inning, and things kind of went off the rails after that, and they finished up with an 11-6 loss and a series-ending loss to the Astros. And it was typical of the series, you know, they looked in control early. Frankie Montas for the first three innings really looked like the guy that was going to maybe finally be that starter that got him through six or seven innings, and then Josh Reddick makes that great catch in the top of the fourth, and somehow the Astros just got some wind in their sails, and that was that.
Pretty much, yeah. It was a situation where the pitching for neither side was all that great, but the Astros bullpen was better than the A's bullpen, and their offensive talent was more talented than the A's. The A's hit a bunch of home runs and didn't do much else, and the Astros had not just the same amount of home runs, but a lot more hits as well. I think the Astros ended up with 46 hits in the series, which when you talk about 4 9-inning games is quite a bit, especially since the Astros didn't even have to play the bottom of the ninth inning today. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where it's disappointing for sure. The Astros were under 500 this year. The A's look like they'd finally kind of broken through with that first series win. And then in this series, it just seemed like deja vu every single day except for Game 3. So, yeah, when Laureano hit that 3-run home run, I was believing. And then by the eighth, ninth inning, I was not believing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there was a brief second in the seventh inning when Marcus Semien hit a ball that actually, interestingly enough, both Bob Melvin and Ramon Laureano were talking about after the game that looked like it was going to be a 3-run homer. And of all the balls that were hit in this series, that was the one that died at the wall and left them a little bit short. And that would have actually put them right back in the game. And, you know, who knows what happens after that. It just wasn't enough pitching. And, you know, I guess if you look back on it, too, it was only a 60-game, you know, sort of shorter season. But there was a lot of kind of intense moments for the bullpen, especially weird scheduling, a lot of doubleheaders in September. And you kind of wonder, you know, what sort of wear and tear that had on them coming into this postseason. You know, again, I sort of felt like the Astros glided their way into the postseason. They certainly didn't play well leading into it, but the Angels just decided they really weren't going to give them much of a run. So at that point, they didn't mind losing, I don't know how many it was out of their last 10 games, but, you know, basically they were almost able to rest, and really they only used the guys they needed to use in this series. There wasn't a lot of that sort of chafe that you can kind of get to that I think during the regular season the A's were able to feast off of. You know, their best guys did what they've been doing for the last 4 years, and, you know, their offense, I mean, you look at that lineup, and again, they underperformed during the regular season, but certainly the A's underperformed during the regular season. And I think if you looked at their postseason numbers, even without Matt Chapman, you know, they were quite good. So you know, you look at that Astros lineup, and there probably aren't really any lineups in baseball outside of maybe the Yankees and the Dodgers that give you those kind of difficult at-bats from, you know, batter one to nine. The real difference was the Astros just had some really great takes, especially in today's game. You know, that 3-2 pitch, which we got the worst view ever. I don't know why TBS insisted on constantly having that behind the catcher view for actual live pitches. So I have no idea where the 3-2 pitch missed in the fourth inning that was before the Brantley home run, but it missed somewhere, and it was looked close on the game tracker. You know, that was the difference. If Montas gets, you know, Altuve looking there, or gets him to swing and miss or make an out somewhere, you know, I think he's a lot more relaxed going into that at bat against Brantley. And then who knows how that inning or the rest of the game turns out. But, you know, a tight 3-2 pitch, they seem to have all the right takes.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, and I saw your tweet on it during the game. It's we refer to it as ump butt cam. It's it's something that has been driving fans crazy for quite a while. I know at least on the Giants fan side, they use that a lot. They've used it less, I think, because they saw on social media that it was getting so much grief. It's not a view that people actually like, at least most fans, I don't think. I think people like to see where the ball travels through the zone. It's kind of cool if you're sitting behind home plate at a game to have that view, because you're close and it's a, you know, you could actually have a full view of the field. But when you're watching on TV and you're worried about each pitch, especially in the postseason, that really is a terrible view. Although I did, you know, complain about it one time in a media column, and I had people in the comments saying that they liked that view. So apparently there's probably focus groups that tell them that the ump butt cam is actually popular, but whatever. Your point stands. The Astros definitely, they were sort of the Uber version of what the A's wanted to be this year. It's tough to lose your absolute best player and expect to romp through a postseason. Although in this case, it seemed like it was set up well for the A's once they got past the White Sox. The Astros were a team that didn't look that great when they played them all year throughout the season. And I didn't really look at their pitching staff and think, oh, this is going to be a pitching staff that's going to shut them down. I didn't see their offense just going nuclear every single game the way they did. I mean, it was somebody new every day. I mean, Tucker and Brantley today both are three hits. Correa had two huge games. Springer was a monster through most of the series. So even though Simeon, he hit 533 in this series. So, and that's without the home run that we all thought was going out. I thought it was going out too. Once that was caught at the wall, you knew it was done right there. It's kind of one of those things with baseball where you sort of know when something happens and it means that you might pull something out of your ass and get something great out of the series or a game. And then there's also times when you fall just short and you realize, yep, it's just not meant to be. And that was really one of those times where it just wasn't meant to be. It was just disappointing, though, to see Montas just kind of lose it in the fourth inning. And that's just what happened with the A's throughout the series. And that's just tough. And that was really emblematic of their entire season. You know, you look at the starting pitching, and Bassett had a fantastic season that should be championed. But the rest of the starting staff, if you look at qualifiers for, that was one of the things that drove it home when I was studying for the White Sox series. And I was looking at, you know, different starting pitching stats. And I was like, oh, Bassett's 31st in this yada yada stat. And there's like barely anybody else on this list. Oh, and there's no other A's. Oh, it's because you had to have 60 innings pitched to qualify. No other starting pitcher for the A's even had 60 innings. So Bassett had 63. There was two other guys that had 59. So you look at the bullpen, and Liam Hendricks, 24 appearances, 25 and a third innings. Yusmeiro Petit, 26 appearances, 21 and two-thirds innings. Wendell Kinn, 21 appearances, 25 innings. So if you stretch that out to an entire season and just keep using them the way that they were using them, I think they really, you know, kind of used that bullpen as much as they possibly could just to get through the season because they needed coverage. And that was really why, I mean, yes, it would have been nice if they could have gotten an awesome starter at the trade deadline, but they needed a guy like Mike Minor to give him 21 innings just for coverage because they were short on that. Even with a really, really great bullpen that handled it through the entire year, I do think that at the end they fell short in part because, like you said, I think with the season being as weird as it was, they just kind of ran out of gas.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I do wonder if when they do sort of an internal assessment of, you know, how the season went, if they'll regret not having brought up maybe a couple of guys from the alternate site just to have some real starts. I mean, I know Dalton Jeffries and Paul Blackburn got, you know, short starts and double headers. But once it sort of seemed like the A's were running away with the division there, and by early September, it seemed like that was the case, you know, maybe it would have made sense to try to bring up a few of those guys. One, just to maybe rest some of the guys that were getting heavily used. And two, to see if you catch lightning in a bottle, because that was the one thing that you didn't have this season that a normal season might have given you, is that guy that comes up and does big things for you. They had nothing to kind of, you know, get them going that way. There was nobody that was going to save them from AAA. And you look at last year, you know, in 2019, and some of their bigger performers in September were guys they brought up from AAA that had had those great seasons. So, I mean, and, you know, every team had to deal with this. This is not like something that was unfair for the A's. But in a normal season, you kind of wonder, like, you know, how would this have played out differently? And that's one of the things I think that probably affected them the most, was that they you know, you don't have that guy that takes off in Vegas, and, you know, either from an offensive perspective or from a pitching perspective, that you could count on.
Yeah, I think if this was a 60-game season over like a 70-day period, and you had nothing that happened with COVID, no protests, no nothing, to where games were, you know, postponed, you had to have doubleheaders, and it was just pretty much talent on talent in a short period of time, then you probably have a completely true rendition of who the most talented team is on paper. Would probably be the most talented team at the end of the season. But this year wasn't like that. It's a war of attrition. So you had a situation where, you know, guys got hurt. I mean, one injury that, you know, people probably have forgotten about by now, but, you know, I'm looking back and thinking about how much he would have helped, is Burt Smith. Burt Smith was incredible throughout the season when he was healthy. And then he had that injury in San Francisco, and he was a guy who it seemed like was getting ready to maybe be a guy who, if Liam Hendricks got hurt, he might even be your closer. He was that good for a while. So losing him was tough. Losing Chapman was tough. And that's kind of what happens with the Astros. You know, they've had their losses as well. I mean, they thought they might not even have Zach Greinke for the series. Altuve was hurt for a good portion of the year. Bregman had some injuries. You know, they had some injuries. But by the time that the playoffs rolled around, they were healthy. So the way that you were talking about saying that they cruised through the regular season, I think it was part of a sort of a combination of not really worrying about it because they knew what the playoff situation looked like and that they only had to get second place in a pretty weak AL West. And then also the fact that if they get their guys healthy, then all of a sudden they roll into the postseason as a completely different team. And the A's were not at full strength. So I guess before we leave, because this is going to be kind of a shorter one, we don't want everyone to wallow with this disappointment for too long, I want to give a shout out to Ramon Laureano for just at the end of this series, completely almost sort of taking it over with this, that speech, and then the two home runs today. And he's a guy who I think got out of whack somehow mentally or mechanically with his swing, you know, at some point with when he got suspended. It just never really seemed like it came back for him. But he's a guy who seemed like he rose up at the end of this year to show us that he's one of the heartbeats chemistry wise of this team, and a leader in the clubhouse that maybe we didn't know before this. And so looking forward to next season, he's a guy that I'm really excited to watch next year, because I think with the full offseason and this under his belt and how emotional he was after Game 4, he's a guy I just want to make sure that we pay attention to. Just, he had a rough series, and I kind of hammered him for a couple games there earlier on in these couple podcasts, but Ramon really stepped up, and he was fun to watch today, and I thought that 3-run home run was going to lead to the A's winning this game and potentially this series.
Yeah, and you can tell how much he cares, too. I mean, he was basically in tears after the game and trying to talk about his disappointment that they didn't win. You know, and I think the whole team, too, they really thought this was this year. So this was their year. So I think it's going to take some time of reflection for them to get past it. But, you know, despite the ending, it was 67 A's baseball games that I did not think we were going to get at any point once this thing got shut down from COVID. So I have to say, I'm pretty impressed that we've gotten this far, that the playoffs in general have been as entertaining as they are, because, you know, these empty stadiums have not been the most easy backdrops to watch things during the regular season. But these games have been amazing, you know, throughout. I thought this series was very entertaining, despite the fact that they ended up losing it. And I'm, you know, looking forward to seeing how the rest of it plays out, because I think it's going to have some really memorable games. So we will be back on Monday to talk a little bit more about what lies ahead for the A's and what figures to be an extremely difficult and also challenging offseason, where there's going to be a lot of changes being made. But I hope you stick around for that. And thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on Monday to talk more about the A's headed into the offseason and some thoughts on who might be coming back and who we might be saying goodbye to.